Hello, this is Homicide Solutions, April 2010, and this month we're talking about how about 14 ways information technology companies waste their marketing budgets. One day, an old farmer decides to visit the national capital. He's never been anywhere outside his little village and wants to visit the big city before he dies. And he decides to take his favorite goat, Rosie, with him. They go to the railway station, try to get on the train, but the old man is not allowed to take the goat on the train. So he ties Rosie to the last train car and off they go into the sunset. At one point, the old man looks out the window to check on his goat. He sees Rosie off the ground, flying behind the train, flailing sideways as if she tried to overtake the train. The panic-stricken old farmer runs to the engine and yells to the driver, "Hey driver, put your foot down, my goat is overtaking the train." And the same happens when many IT companies' leaders feel that the goat is about to overtake the train. That is, when the competition is about to outmarket them. And what is the typical response? In most cases, just to speed up the rate of the existing marketing activities and hope. The majority of the IT companies out there are risk-allergic imitators that are so busy aping each other that they have no time and energy left to do a bit of in-house thinking and break out of the lemming-like crowd. So what happens is that so many IT companies are wasting their marketing budget on imitating others and repeating their retarded mistakes. For example, if our competition has half a page Yellow Pages ad, we'll have a three quarters of a page ad. If our competition has a 10-page brochure, we'll have a 20-page brochure. If our competition uses 10 cold callers for prospecting, we'll use 20 and double the mandatory number of calls. It's all about more of the same. No thinking of doing things differently and more effectively, just doing more of the same, that is, doing things more efficiently. I think David Dunham was 100% right in saying, efficiency is intelligent laziness. It is. Efficiency can be impressive business, but that's all, really. And this is what doing more of the same is all about. And using this efficient, more of the same mentality, many IT companies waste their marketing budgets on doing more of what the competition is doing, very often incorrectly. It reminds me of Jeffrey Pfeiffer's saying, "What kind of doctor would you be if your patient was bleeding faster and faster and your only response was to increase the speed of the transfusion?" Paraphrasing Jeffrey, "What kind of business leader would you be if your business was losing ground in the market faster and faster and your only response was to do more of what the competition is doing?" But what's the difference between doing more of the same and less of something different? In my experience, doing more of the same is about to avoid losing, and doing less of something different is about winning. And as we know from Walt Disney, when he was advised to create a sequel to the super successful Three Little Piglets, and he said, "You can't topple pigs with more pigs." So we have to do as the Monty Python crew is fond of saying.
And now for something completely different.
So let's look at some more of the same ways on which many IT companies are wasting their marketing budgets just to create mediocre the best and barely lackluster the worst performance. Number one is doing what the competition does. Many IT companies think competitors have already figured out what is right for marketing, so the herd of imitators are following them. There is one problem here though. If we become part of the herd, we get either trampled on or shit on, Besides, there is a very good chance that the herd is running in the wrong direction very, very fast. If I remember correctly, it was Earl Nightingale who once said, "The majority is always wrong." I think it's still a pretty accurate statement. The whole situation reminds me of a song called Hurricane Years by Alice Cooper. Enjoy it with my comments. Ain't got no time for the future. Rhyme here and there, which obviously shows there's a bit of a poet in me. And the interpretation is something like, we are too dumb to build our own future. We are too dumb to learn from our past. We are just too busy being busy, running around without a clear direction, having just enough cash to survive, living hand to mouth. But the competition is bearing down on us and will eventually blow us to kingdom come. Maybe I should start writing lyrics for rock music. But whatever the competition does, the reason for that is that specific approach matches its culture, values, vision and mission. But different companies have different cultures, values, visions and missions, so strategies must be different too. Some companies want to grow big and focus on gross revenue. Some want to stay small and focus on net profit per employee. Some companies focus on low prices. Some of them focus on high value and high fees, high prices. Some companies are run by profit-obsessed tyrants who treat their people like dirt and run their companies on a hire them, tire them, fire them basis. Some companies run by socially conscientious leaders who want to make both good profits and build conducive cultures to, and work environment to attract top-tier talents. So their marketing strategies and tactics are totally different. They can't just ape each other indiscriminately. It never works. Number two, marketing only after sales have gone down. Look at many IT companies out there and realize that they treat marketing as a miracle function. When times are good, CEOs want to save the marketing budget and use that money for something more visible like a new company car. Well, a Porsche at least, or something similar, something that can be looked at, something that can be admired. Like, you can't admire a marketing campaign. Then, when the slow times come, they try to do some kind of marketing, which is not really marketing, but only clutching at straws. And while a straw can float when left alone, when you attach something to it, it sinks. Marketing only when slow times hit the land is the same as paying your mortgage after you have been evicted for non-payment. Peter Drucker wrote this in his 1954 book, The Practice of Management. Marketing is the distinguishing unique function of the business. A business is set apart from all our human organizations by its marketing activities. Any organization that fulfills its purpose through marketing is a business, and any organization where marketing is absent or incidental is not a business and shouldn't be run as such. Marketing must be an ongoing process. And the significant marketing budget is one of the best investments a company can make in its future success. Often people say that marketing is for giants like Coca-Cola or General Motors. But that's bullshit, really. Just like all other companies out there, these two companies too had their humble beginnings. the Coca-Cola company first called the J.S. Pemberton Medicine Company was established in 1894 as a co-partnership between Dr. John Stith Pemberton and Ed Holland. The company was formed to sell three main products: Pemberton's French Wine Cola, later known as Coca-Cola, Pemberton's Indian Queen Hair Dye, and Pemberton's Globe Flower Cough Syrup. General Motors has grown out of a little outfit when in 1899 Scottish-born David Buick turned his interest from plumbing to making engines. He called his business the Buick Motor Company. Within 4 years, he drove the company to the brink of bankruptcy, and then he came back. So we all have to start somewhere. So when we look at sales and marketing, we have to see that the sales function is the effect and the marketing function is the cause. Impressive sales numbers in the books are the result of effective marketing. Nowadays, Coca-Cola is a branding company with very little hard assets. Yet, its market value is way, way, way higher than that of General Motors. Alright, I know that marketing commodities like Coke is different from marketing premium IT solutions, but what's important here is the consistency in marketing, that you do it regardless of your sales numbers. So make certain that in your organization, marketing is really a consistent, predictable, ongoing process. Number three, hiding from the media. Many IT company leaders perceive the media as intruders. Yes, but how many intruders do you have in your life who can make you nipple-piercingly popular and successful? Well, probably not many. Isn't it interesting how many interruptions IT business leaders are willing to tolerate, even if they know that most of those interruptions are trivial? In most cases, their very own people interrupt them, but these leaders feel obligated to help them right away. And in most cases, not because they really want to help. It's because leaders can practice a little paternalistic command and control over their people. There is an opportunity to reprimand, and as of today, that seems to be the most widespread tactic when it comes to management. It's not surprising that 67% of all employee attrition is caused by incompetent managers chasing away good people. Especially when the shit hits the company's fan and it starts sliding down the organizational chart, stinking up every nook and cranny where it goes. So leaders are eager to pass the shit on the people who are under them in the organizational pecking order. So soon, the full load ends up on the front lines. And by now, the whole company stinks like a whorehouse at low tide. Also, leaders have an opportunity to demonstrate to their people why they are the leaders and they are the front, and these people are the frontline grunts. Many leaders love being interrupted by subordinates so they can demonstrate their superiority as leaders. But since they can't play their pervert superior subordinate games with media people, for they are peers, there is no fun for the leaders, so there is no reason to be available to them. But it's very important to figure out how to work with the media. An occasional article on the company can make a huge difference both in branding and sales. The media in general is helpful to businesses, but you can't have 100% control of what gets written. Yet, you must make a concentrated effort to draw the attention of the media and then keep in touch with the appropriate media people. Number four, focusing on design at the expense of copy. Marketing must combine good copy and eye-pleasing design, good appearance. neither good design nor good copy is cheap. And what happens? Most IT companies engage the best graphics and web design people and pour their entire budgets into design. Then the design is ready, but the budget is blown to the last penny. So managers often end up asking some of the technical folks to write copy. "Hey Fred, I heard you were great at writing essays in school 30 years ago. I'd like you to write copy for our new website." Or they ask the receptionist, "Hey Alice, I've heard you have a degree in journalism. Are you interested in writing copy for our new website? We need it right away so we can publish it on the new website." What also amazes me is that most companies, when looking for copywriters, they put in education, must have a degree in journalism. The interesting part of it is that journalists know how to write to inform and educate, but journalists have never written anything in order to sell something. So journalism degree for a copywriter, well, that's interesting. I've seen a couple of ads for copywriters that must have a degree in English. Whoa, that's great, as if it made so much difference. But hey, the way I see it, most IT companies don't know how to hire people, so they just use whatever they think that works. Or if no one is available to write their copy, management puts an ad on Craigslist. Ace copywriter wanted. Established local company has an immediate need for an experienced freelance web copywriter to write copy for our new website on our information technology products and services. You will start small, and if we like what we see, we'll give you bigger assignments. And if we like the full work, there's a strong possibility for more copywriting work. To apply, you must have experience at writing web copy. Please respond with samples, your resume, three references, your rates, and a link to your online portfolio. Well, let's dissect this ad point by point. Established local company. Who the bloody hell is this no-name established, quote-unquote established company? And why is it hiding in the shadows like a terrorist group? If we like what we see, well, if you want to hire an ace copywriter, it means you're not an ace copywriter. So what gives you the right to judge something that you don't know shit about? We give you bigger assignments. Well, you either have a writing project or not. If you do, present it properly. If you don't, why do you advertise and pollute cyberspace with your bloody ad? And if we like the full work, well, what do you mean like? Whether or not a layman likes the work of an expert, then there's a strong possibility we give you more work. There's a chance that this is a price negotiation trick purchasing agents love using. To apply, you must have experience at writing web copy. What else, dum-dum? Nuclear warfare or grasshopper sex lives? Who do you expect to respond? Homer Simpson. Please respond with your samples and your resume. Well, freelance professions don't have resumes. Free references. This advertiser must be out of his moronic mind. Send references to a no-name entity where the only contact is an automatically generated Craigslist email address. Where is this application with all the personal information going to land? On a spam list? Quite possible. I think that's the reason why Craigslist puts a warning on every single ad that beware, this can be a scam. It's not a new piece of information that on a percentage basis more employers are scam artists than employees or applicants. Yet, employers screen and check the living daylights out of candidates, but candidates are not allowed to do the same. Interesting. I suppose this is one of the reasons for employee attrition, that people get attracted to ads, apply, they get hired, and 2 weeks later they realize, bloody hell, this company, well, is not exactly what the advertisement was talking about. This company is a shithole. Let's get out of here. So that happens. And talking about rates, what rates? It's like asking a realtor, how much is a house? What house? A dog house or the Buckingham Palace in London? Sadly, the world is full of idiots who know the cost and prices they have to pay, but don't have the intellectual firepower to comprehend the value they receive in return. And purchasing agents and HR recruiters seem to be on the top of this list of idiots. Asking for rates this early is a clear sign that this entity is looking for the lowest bidder. Over the years, I've taken quite a number of copywriting courses, and one thing these courses have in common, they teach you that if a buyer is asking for your rates too soon, that's a bad sign, and the best bet is to get up and leave the discussion. These buyers are price conscious, and they don't care about value. And last but not least, they want to review your portfolio. What for? Without knowing the details of the portfolio items, there is no point in judging them. And without comprehensive copywriting expertise, no one has the right to judge a copywriter. Copywriting is knowledge work, thus copywriters are knowledge workers whose performance can't be measured on an hourly basis. It must be discerned and judged, but only by people who understand copywriting. Knowledge work is a non-linear process, unlike the linear cadence at an assembly line. Copywriting, like other knowledge work, moves by iteration and reiteration of the mind. It's a mental process. I think there is a reason why Craigslist has put a scam alert on every post, knowing that many of the advertising companies are scumbags and they are out there to scam people, may they be employees, customers, or suppliers. Yes, I agree, design must be good, but let's not get carried away. Just look at Google. 99% of 10-year-old kids can design such a site, graphics-wise. But look at the copy and the overall content with the Google brand. That's mastery. And rest assured, that's where Google's money lies, in the content. Also, in my experience, content has more to do with establishing your brand than your logo or other web graphics combined. So let's focus on content for a moment, because that will make the difference. Number 5, doing printing on your own in-house printers. Yes, most laser printers used in offices can do printing, but when it comes to printing promotional materials, creating perceptions, and deepening your brand identity, every IT company must use proper printing. Just because something can be done, it may not be the best way of doing it. If you need surgery, would you go to a medical student to perform it just because the service is cheap and he lives just next door? Minimize your printed materials. For everything can be put online, but when you absolutely need printed materials, then go to the best place your budget allows. And if you have to stretch yourself financially a little bit, then do it. Of course, the other side of the same coin is that make sure that you have a healthy budget. It's hard to build a palace from materials you've got from a demolished pigspan. In a previous newsletter issue entitled Setting Marketing Budget for Optimized Client Acquisition, we discussed how and why linearly increased marketing budgets produce exponentially increased returns on investment. Yes, if you invest one, you get back one. But if you invest five, you get back 25. And if you invest 10, you get back 100. And that's pretty sweet. So it's not about minimizing the budget. How can you save the budget? But if since marketing is a real investment, the more you put in, the more you get out. So try to maximize it. Number 6, haphazardly buying ad space in paper and or randomly sending out emails to the marketplace. In most IT companies, marketing is either non-existent or a pretty erratic process. What so many IT companies do is that every now and then they place ads in haphazardly selected publications. They often select the publications based on the price of the ad space, or haphazardly send out an emails to hodgepodge lists. Individual tactical activities must be part of the company's overall marketing plan, and they must be pre-planned and pretty consistent. Before placing ads, publications must be pre-screened for effectiveness, and ads must be tested for maximum effectiveness. That can be done in Google AdWords quite nicely. So make sure you test everything before you send them out, because a printed ad is big commitment. Number 7. Publishing one issue of a newsletter on a let's see basis. In my experience, when we do something on a let's see what happens basis, it's always done half-assed. And the reason is that let's see what happens is not commitment. It's mild interest the most, often even less. Often it's a very strong, it doesn't work around here. Let's see can come after checking interest over an extended period of time. A newsletter must be at least quarterly, but monthly publications are even better. Well, a lot better. Besides, if your level of belief in your own business is just, oh, let's see what happens, maybe you'd better pack up the business and get the hell out of your industry and find something you truly love and enjoy doing. So your newsletter is one of the items that establishes your brand, so it pays to pay attention to it. Number 8. Expecting great results on near zero budget. Well, it takes money to make money. With that in mind, many IT companies hire more salespeople and send them out to pound pavements, tear down doors, and dial for dollars instead of investing that same money in better marketing and have qualified prospects come to them. IT companies must factor in that marketing is not an instant gratification process. And the sooner they start investing in marketing, the sooner they start reaping the benefits. Noble goals without money are not really enough. We all need some dough to pull those goals off. And for the IT companies that are looking for instant gratification, well, they could restart in prostitution with the following motto: we do anything for anyone for money. But what sort of word of mouth will be spreading about the company then? Number 9. Skimping on a designated marketing person. Look at most usually small IT businesses. Who is responsible for marketing? The receptionist. Some of the techies, sales staff, or the secretary. Wow. Holy sausage, man.
Yes. And the same company can appoint their receptionist, Pat Parrott, to be the CEO. Why not? What difference does it make? It's the same harebrained idea. Realistically, every IT business, regardless of size, must have at least one person who is dedicated to marketing. But no, look at most even sizable IT companies and you find a full-time graphic artist, full-time accountant, and even full-time fire extinguisher inspector. But you have to search long and hard to find a full-time marketing person. We know from Peter Drucker that because its purpose is to create a client, the business has two and only two functions: marketing, you get paid for creating a customer, and innovation, you get paid for creating a new dimension of performance. Marketing and innovation produce results, and all the rest are costs. Which is nice, but we also know from Dan Pink, there is a mismatch between what science knows and business does. And we see that here. So most IT companies sooner hire parking lot attendants than dedicated marketing people. And as a result, due to a chronic absence of clients and customers, the attendants keep attending empty parking lots. Relying on a random group of people to do your marketing will advance your business success just about as much as relying on just about anyone and everyone to make love with your spouse to improve your marriage. It doesn't always work. Number 10, advertising in the cheapest papers. Well, you can advertise in the free community papers, and most of your readers will be the welfare people who spend their days browsing the only thing they can afford, the local free papers. Cheap-minded prospects will read your ad, categorizing your company as the provider of cheap stuff. What about buyers who need good stuff? They are likely to read different papers, thus buy from your competitors. You have to select advertising mediums carefully. You have to understand both the publication and your target market. Do your perfect clients read this type of publication? What is the publication's circulation? What geographical area? Do you want to have clients from that area? These are important questions to consider. Number 11. Ignoring research and working on the president's whim. And what do you see as a result of this? Something like, "Hi, I'm Joe Tigernuts, the president of Retarded Technology Inc." Most IT companies have the ability to find what the market is seeking, but quite often, retarded executives overrule research and put their own whims and moods into marketing. I've heard it far too often from presidents. Make sure that my super large photo is on the landing page of our website and on the title page of our brochure with a nice quotation from me. Well, that's great. That's all right. You mustn't overdo research, but make sure the use of the right information, not only the stuff you get from your ego-driven, marketing, ignorant president. That's important. Number 12, sending out brochures in direct mail. Now, that is junk mail, big time. Direct mail must be personalized, and the brochure is just like a letter delivered to your home, addressed to the occupier. A well-crafted letter, either short or long copy, that offers valuable information is much more successful. My clients routinely pull 20% plus response rates from 1-2 page letter sequences without wasting money on extensive brochures. Mind you, in our letters we don't try to sell anything or get appointments. No way. We offer relevant, thus valuable information for decision makers and let the quality of the information do the selling. and it seems to work quite well. So there is no need for hard selling at this point. And no need for hard selling at all. Number 13. Running an advertisement only once. Let's start with the conflicting view here. If your ad is a good direct response ad, the right people will respond right away. Imagine that a starving convict reads an ad in the latest issue of the Gulag Times. All you have to do is to return this coupon to barrack number 116, where you can redeem it for a free 3-course lunch. For this convict, it's enough to read the ad once, and he's likely to run for his meal. The right message exposed once to the right person at the right time. However, if you have money to run an ad only once, it's a colossal waste of effort and money. Yes, people will respond, no doubt, but you may not be able to exploit the full potential of the ad. Any ad should run at least 3 to 7 times to make sure it creates the right impression and all the right people can read it, understand it, and act upon it. Also, it's been established over the years through experimenting that only 1 in 3 ads are read. The other 2 are ignored. So we have to present that ad 21 times to achieve 7 readings. Number 14. Assuming the company's own people know everything just because they get paid well. The other outsider's view and broad experience can be a huge asset and can make a huge difference on your overall marketing investment. People who think they know it all are in the vice grips of their egos and can be very harmful to their companies. There are people who do marketing day in, day out. The better the person you hire, the sooner your marketing investment starts paying off. And you get what you pay for. A good marketer can bring you a new dimension, a new perspective, and it will make a huge difference to your bottom line. Basically, you have to pay the price to win the prize. Putting it differently, if you want to play the tune, you must pay the piper first. And if you have a problem created by your own pipers, it's your own people, then you have to find a new piper to help you to invent a new tune for your specific situation. It's not enough to increase the number of poor pipers just because they are cheap to hire. Otherwise, you may well end up screaming your old tune from the top of your lungs for the rest of your life, and all you achieve is a swollen vocal cords and pretty ugly and irritating voice from which even your existing and almost loyal disciples run for cover. Conclusion? And now we have one important question left. So, should you hire a marketing administrator, an MBA basically, or a marketing practitioner? Who may not have fancy papers, but knows his stuff, or her stuff. It's not about that one is better than the other, it's about suitability. MBA programs teach so-called Kotlerian marketing, referring to Philip Kotler, the marketing professor, which is great for large corporations with virtually unlimited marketing budgets, but can be a huge waste of time and money for agile and flexible, entrepreneurial, small and medium-sized IT companies. There are some differences to consider, so here we run a short comparison. Administrators, the MBA folks, are designed for large corporations with unlimited budgets. Practitioners are for small and medium-sized businesses with limited budgets. MBA programs are all about mass marketing, gunslinger with a shotgun shooting from the hip, basically. Practitioners are for niche marketing, sharpshooter with a rifle and the scope, carefully selecting and aiming. administrators are taught in MBA school how to market and sell commodities to customers on a mass basis. Mass marketing, mass selling. Practitioners are for selling unique solutions to businesses. The MBA approaches make profit on high volume. With commodities, volume is the only way to make money. For practitioners, make profit on high margin. Administrators in corporations focus on short-term profit. Hey, they have to please Wall Street. Practitioners focus on long-term. In corporations, the idea is to please shareholders, investors, and Wall Street analysts. In smaller businesses, it's pleasing stakeholders, including owners, clients, employees, investors, and suppliers. And one distinguishing factor that can make a huge difference, MBAs, due to the nature of their education, think like employees. They like their peace of mind, the calm nature of the corporation, just go to work every day and don't rock the boat. So they think like employees. Practitioners think like business owners, simply because many of them have side projects outside their main jobs. But both MBAs and practitioners are pretty expensive. It shouldn't surprise you, considering that we are talking about the most profitable business function, marketing. Yet, I've bumped into many IT companies where programmers were making as high as $150 an hour, and the company was on a recruiting spree to find a marketing manager for $12 an hour. Yes, some business owners are that dumb. I've recently come across a lawyer who runs an IT company. He was bragging that he had several programmers at $150 an hour, and he was hesitating. He was toying with the idea, oh, shall I pay the marketing manager $15 an hour, or can I get away with 12? Good question. So look at what you want this new person to achieve and pay her accordingly. And read the mistakes we've just discussed again and see if any of the above points apply to your company. If they do, then start correcting them. The sooner you start the correction, the sooner you see results. Marketing is a vital function in any business, and it's worth paying due attention to it. So, this was our Atomicide solution for April 2010, and we talked about the 14 mistakes IT companies make to mess up their budgets. If you found it interesting, then come back to our blog. You find the link at the end of the written version, and we can discuss it in more details. Otherwise, have a great week, month, and we'll talk in May.